How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Join 105.7 The Fan's Baltimore Baseball tonight before every weeknight home baseball game at Pickles Pub as we broadcast live. Enjoy their 32-ounce Orange Crush. And on select nights, pick up a free 105.7 The Fan and Science & Kirk bucket hat, courtesy of Science & Kirk Lawyers. YouHaveALawyer.com.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZFM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
The Orioles get back on the diamond today, opening up a three-game series with the Houston Astros. The Birds are hoping to bounce back after a disappointing weekend series against the Red Sox, where they let a club in turmoil outscore them by a combined 18 runs in Saturday and Sunday's losses. The offense has left a lot to be desired thus far, with the team ranked 17th in runs per game and the team OBP at 16th. The fans are starting to grow restless. Here's Gunnar Henderson on what it will take to get more consistency from the bats.
As a team perspective, I just feel like keep stringing good at bats together. I feel like that's the name of it, is just keep getting on base and obviously give yourself opportunities to score early, and we know the pitchers will have our back.
The Birds will look to get things going this evening against Houston, and the fan has your pregame coverage for the series opener with Baltimore Baseball tonight, presented by Jerry's Home Services, beginning at 5:30, with first pitch slated for 6:35. Your Tuesday forecast from the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, turning cloudy with a chance for showers, highs around 60. This Fan Flash is sponsored by Jerry's Home Services. Jerry's Home Services is the choice of Maryland homeowners with an impeccable industry reputation. Just ask Jerry's for a fast, free estimate by calling 410-766-6800 or visit jerrysiding.com. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
I mean, I think is definitely one of the positions that we prioritize. There were some others, and there are some others, and we'll continue to hopefully have a chance to address those players. I need some more picks, you know, because there's some good players that are going to be available. But we do hope to, you know, definitely attack some other position groups as well. I think that just, you know, when you think you're good with the roster, things happen, right? And so we want to be strong at every position with as much depth as possible, and that's why we're excited, I think, about the next couple of days and the amount of picks that we have and the opportunities that present themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good question. So there were a couple of centers that we really liked. And I think after that, you know, could we have traded up, you know, potentially maybe traded up into the second round and maybe take one of those guys? And we really assessed it, like where we were picking at 80 for us to do that would have cost our second round pick, our third round pick, and our fourth round pick. Probably prohibitive for us to get up that high in the draft. I think he probably coerced me with a nice bottle of wine down there in Florida. And we had all those picks. We knew we were going to have all those picks. And so we just decided on that last pick in the fifth round.
Now, that's Eric DaCosta talking about Steve Bisciotti, owner of the team, making his first draft pick and using booze to do it. Booze influences people, sometimes in a positive way, sometimes, a lot of times, in a negative way. And the particular pick, as someone will break down later in the show, was Adam Randall, the running back out of Clemson. And Eric went on to say that, you know, yeah, he watched film, he talked to people, did his intel, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Anyone could read a freaking draft guide and think that they know what they're talking about. But there's a special skill, and Vinny, because you've done it, that separates, you know, just reading the back of baseball cards and like highlights of everybody doing great, as opposed to, well, can this guy really play? We do know that Steve Bisciotti's buddies with Dabo Swinney. At Clemson. And like I said, we'll get to it. This kid Randall's an intriguing prospect, but Steve Bisciotti has usually been, I pay you to do this. This is your thing. But I guess, you know, you're late in the process. You've got extra fifth round draft picks. I guess he knew or is excited enough about it to convince Eric. And I'm guessing that bottle of wine wasn't a cheap one.
I'm guessing over 300 a bottle.
So there you go. But Steve Bisciotti making the pick, and I'm not trying to build this into something that's not, a meddling owner. But I did find it curious that Steve Bisciotti finally, you know, who knows? He might be at the end of the trail owning the team for all we know. He said, let me dip my toe in these draft waters and we'll see. Maybe he turns out to be a brilliant executive, which could probably turn out to be detrimental to the team. But we'll talk about Randall later. But normally, Vinny owners kind of, especially him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he just sits back. You know, he'll probably complain and yell and scream watching games like everybody else once the bottles of wine start flowing.
Mm-hmm.
But we've never really heard about him. You know, hey, can I play? Let me get in on this.
Now, like the owner, Eddie DeBartolo, Bob, he carried Mel's book around, you know. When Mel had the blue book, remember? You know, and Eddie
looked
like
won. A yellow page.
Eddie didn't want nothing to do with it. Now, seventh round all the time in San Fran, we would always, Carmen Policy, the president, Carmen would always make the pick. Because Carmen was always in the draft room for draft day, you know, and then he would make the pick, and the one in the seventh round, and then he would call the guy, and the one that he picked, Bob, Elvis Gerbach. And they didn't. His parents didn't speak English.
Okay.
What he called. Now, Dan Snyder, he made all the picks.
But, you know, Gerbach turned out to be serviceable. At times, really good quarterback. Didn't work out well for him in Baltimore. But, you know, that's another story for another day. But either way, we'll talk about this Randall guy.
Yeah.
Who, a converted receiver. And there's some, to tease it a little bit, as they say. There's some intriguing qualities that he brings to the equation.
And Bob, you know what one of his best qualities is? How about a 6'3", 232-pound kick returner? He's a hell of a kick returner.
Yeah.
You know, and you want a big guy back there to break some tackles. I mean, we'd have like Mutt and Jeff because we got Wester and Randall. You know, you got two big dudes back there. But if I'm a running back coach, that would be like, I get to mold this guy, you know. I get to kind of, because he's played the position 1 year.
Now, we also heard from Eric DaCosta, which we worked back to front, talking about at the end of the day in the draft not finding Tyler Linderbaum's replacement as he went to the Raiders, as we well know. Highly paid free agent by Las Vegas, and Ravens did not draft a center. So as we sit here on April the 28th, you have in-house options 3. And then what are you looking to peruse before, you know, you get to mandatory minicamp, for instance?
Yeah. Well, you're looking for if there's any June 1 cuts, which there's not very many anymore. And then when, all right, you look at teams that drafted a center, is there a center they're cutting? You know, that kind of thing. That's where you look. Otherwise, you know, guys on the street. So it's tougher to fill it now. Because everybody's been picked through, basically. You know, so it's not an easy thing. I mean, to me, you got to have a guy, I would think, because you're going to be starting, you know, rookie at left guard. So you want a smart guy, you know, who can make the calls and do all that. So some type of guy with experience. Because I'm guessing, Bob, that they liked Jones and Slaughter were their two guys, Iowa and Florida. And both of them went in the second. You know what? And everybody kind of projected them. Even like when I was talking to Mel, he thought third, fourth round. The centers probably start going in the third or in the fourth round. And they went in the second. You know, and Eric took Zion. He didn't know. There hadn't been a center gone yet when he took Zion. So then, all right, we'll get him at 80. Hell, two guys we liked are gone. So there's no sense in... If you're following your board, you don't, like we talked about yesterday, you know, if you're picking at 80, you know, and the next center on your board's like a fifth, sixth rounder, you don't take that in the third.
And we heard him also in that cut, Vinny, talking about possibly trading up, but there was nothing enticing enough that would, you know, make him pull the trigger on a move. Because Zion Young went 45, and then the two centers went within the next 15 to 17 picks.
Yeah, so to go from 80 to 65, you know, I mean, you don't have a lot of ammo. I guess, you know, you had a 4 and all those 5s. You'd have probably had to throw in next year's three or two to move up, you know, and he didn't want to do that. So, and Bob, who knows that they're going in the second round? You don't know.
Right.
You know, but then once Logan Jones went, then it's like, oh, hell, you know. Maybe we should go get
him. And you know, based on what I've been reading and we've been following, Jones appeared to be their number one dude,
yeah.
The Iowa kid.
Yeah, and he went, he was the first center off the board. You know, and he followed Linderbaum at Iowa. Thing you can't go wrong is, usually with Iowa offensive linemen, you can't go wrong. I mean, the Ravens have had great success with Iowa offensive linemen. I mean, probably Hall of Famer with Yonda, and Linderbaum's the highest price inside lineman in the league, in history.
In the history of the league, yeah. So Iowa linemen right now, like Ohio State wide receivers and back in the day Penn State linebackers, mm-hmm. You took one of them, you were probably getting some quality for your draft pick. And we started with Eric DaCosta talking about offensive line being their biggest need and, you know, their first pick, they went there. But without getting a center, as we discussed, did they do enough to address the needs of the offensive line? And obviously we'll talk about John Simpson being brought in as a free agent as well, and you're hoping for improvements from some of your younger guys too.
Well, that's the thing, Bob, is when you look at the offensive line, you know, you got Stanley and Rosengarten that have both been starters that you feel good about. You feel good about, you know, Venga. You feel good about him. Simpson, you went and got. But, you know, you got to have Veda has got to really step up for them, you know, to be a solid backup. And Emory Jones Jr. has got to, like, really step up. And so does Voorhees. Voorhees, that would be nice if he came.
I keep forgetting about him.
Yeah.
Seriously, it's like, oh, that's right. He's still on the team.
So, because they got to develop some depth, Bob. I mean, right now, there's still question marks, you know, at, like, where's Venga? If Venga's playing left guard, then I'm guessing Simpson's playing right guard to start. And Emory Jones is, you know, is he working at right guard? And, you know, and then they got to develop one of three centers. And two of the guys are older veteran, you know, that aren't.
Limited really starts, yes. Yeah. I mean, they're in the league, but it's not like they have a ton of starting experience. And Corey Bullock, former Terp, undrafted free agent, who flashed last year, but for some reason couldn't find his way on the field, even though they had a ton of problems.
Yeah. I'm hoping, Bob, that the new O-line coach and stuff, I hope they like Bullock. Just because, I mean, I keep talking about Bullock, you know, and the only thing I know about Bullock is what I watched in the preseason, and I thought he showed a lot of athleticism, I thought he got up to the second level well, you know, and we heard Warhop talk about him one time, said he's my backup center. You know, he didn't say, you know, like, I don't know why they refused, you know, to switch out Voorhees or Falele. That one, I don't know.
And we're going to be breaking down draft profiles again today. Three of them, as a matter of fact. You want to get in, comment on it, feel free to do so at 410-583-1057. And then at some point later in the week, next couple of days, going to talk about post-draft needs that the Ravens still have. As you got rookie camp starting this weekend, then OTAs coming up in less than a month. Schedule release, that's going to be part of the fun too. But yep. Ravens still have holes. We'll address where the holes still may lie with a team that is still considered to be the betting favorite to win the AFC North. Orioles are back on the diamond tonight after dropping 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox, including 2 in a row. Houston comes in. They're in last place. Last place. They're 3-10 on the road. Their pitching staff has the highest earned run average in baseball. They do score a lot of runs, and they hit a lot of home runs, so keep that in mind. And let me make sure I got this guy's name right. Kai-Wei Tang, or K.Y. Tang, boy, who's been great in the bullpen for them, now in the rotation. He's right here, and he's going to pitch tonight against Shane Boz, who's still looking for his first win. Bottom line is, the Orioles, if they want to be 500 or above at the end of April, they need to sweep the series. And for Houston, they're just trying to get it together in some capacity. The manager, Joe Espada, he might get Alex Cora Joe Espada, of course, Brandon Hyde's brother-in-law. He's been in Houston for a few years now, and they're up against it. So he's one of the men, like Rob Thompson, who we talked about, Carlos Mendoza. The three managers right now appear to be on the hottest of seats, but we'll see what the Orioles can do, because all they can do is worry about themselves. But Houston coming in here, they're not doing well. They did lose 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, did win the finale on Sunday, but Astros Orioles BBT tonight at 5:30. We'll be at Pickles Pub getting you ready for that. When you got the NBA playoffs rolling on, number one seed in the East, they're on the ropes.
Oh yes.
And Arthur Mercanti is looking hard at them as Orlando is going strong, and then the Stanley Cup playoffs. And Penguins just don't want to go away, do they?
No, they don't. They're, you know, and Sidney Crosby, you know, they went 3-2. He has 2 assists.
So they're still hanging around. NBA Rookie of the Year was named last night. We'll get into that and more. But Orioles and Ravens thoughts, feel free to do so. Get in here. We got Turn It Up Tuesday. We're cranking it to 12. Bob Haney, Vince Rod, and Nolan McGraw here on The Fan.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Serato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7, The Fan.
Turn It Up Tuesday, man. Cranking it to 12. Pick a song, we'll play it loud. Send request, plus we're text line, 410-583-1057. Ryan Ripken joining us bottom of the hour. Talk about the Orioles and Astros coming up. 3-game series, Orioles trying to get to 500 here by the end of the month. Need to sweep Houston to do so. So we'll get Ryan's thoughts on that. And a struggling, inconsistent Orioles offense and a bad defensive team, especially in the outfield. I mean, even the stats say that. And, of course, Houston has the highest earned run average of all pitching staffs in baseball. There's only 30 of them. They're 30th. And it's Kai Wei Tang, not Tang, the orange drink from when we were kids that tasted like total dog crap.
Yeah, yes, it did.
Because the astronauts drank it. Yeah. And the orange, good enough for him, then you drink it. It's like, what the hell is this? I mean, it makes Kool-Aid taste like Dom Perignon. And by the way, for the record, I like Kool-Aid.
I like the purple.
I'm cool with cherry. Cherry's the Michael Jordan of all like artificial flavors. But Kai Wei Tang is on the hill for Houston right-handed pitcher Shane Baz, looking for his first win. We'll get into all of that and more. More draft talk, obviously, coming your way. And now the Ravens offseason continues on, trying to fill holes that are still on the team. And we'll see how it goes. Lamar's contract stuff's kind of quieted down for now. And how long is this going to be a non-story? When do we start percolating here? Because if we're in this dance, a year from now, it's probably not going to be a fun situation.
I'm guessing, Bob, it starts percolating when Lamar talks, because that's going to be the first question asked of him. And I'm guessing, does he talk at OTAs or mandatory minicamp? Which one do you think?
I think OTA. If he's there, he's talking.
Yeah, and yep, I don't disagree with that.
Because he's done it before.
And he was at the, you know, the first part of camp here and didn't talk.
Apparently,
you know,
he was there the entire time,
yeah,
from what I understand. So, didn't say anything, but the contract stuff, which is a good thing, I guess, for now. It's on the back burner. I'm sure they're talking to some level, but it's not a distraction. It's not the story permeating from one winning drive.
No, we're
it's just all about, you know, let's what kind of personnel are we going to have to go in here and redeem ourselves from which turned out to be a disastrous 2020.
Yeah, I think on Twitter and stuff, we've seen that Lamar likes the draft, you know, so he's probably happy about that. And the best thing for Eric doing the negotiations, Bob, is if Lamar's in the building, makes it a lot easier to talk instead of text.
All right, let's get out to the phones. People want to talk about the draft. You want to talk about the Orioles, 2 games below 500. You're just not a good team. I mean, that's what the record says. I mean, the stats speak for themselves. They're as banged up as any team in baseball. Houston, as a matter of fact, has the most players on the IL with 15. Unfortunately for the Astros, the guys that are playing aren't playing all that great. But they can mash. They can hit. Alvarez, Christian Walker, they got dudes they can hit. Let's go to Tim in Falston. Tim, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot. Vinny, you kind of touched on it last segment. So the Ravens, they got, like, what we hope is one of the best offensive linemen in the draft in the first round.
Right.
So then in the second round, they had the opportunity to get the best center in the draft that they could get. And they opted for Zion. And, I mean, if he's not the next coming of T-Sizzle, you know, I think they could have made a mistake because, you know, I'm afraid, like the rookie kicker that they had that cost us the game, the same thing could happen here with a center that they pick up. They're flipping the ball over the head of the quarterback in the first playoff game, or a couple holding calls. I mean, to me, they should have went with the center in the second round.
Well, you don't draft by need; you draft by value. And I'm guessing Zion Young, they probably had rated it late in the first round. And they probably had the center, probably a third round in the board. So, they weren't, and I'm guessing they probably figured they would get one of those guys at 80, you know, as how the board fell. But I don't have a problem with them taking Zion Young at 45, because I'm guessing that he was by far the highest rated guy on their board.
Okay, Vinny. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yep.
There's Tim. And we heard Eric DaCosta say that didn't see any value, no pun intended, in trading up to try to get one of the centers. Where they were sitting right now with draft capital they still had left. Now, if one of them would have fell to 80, I'm assuming they're running the card up to
no doubt.
The podium and getting this thing done.
I just think, yeah. I mean, because Logan Jones, I think, what did he go, like 57, I think, something like that. So if there's two centers you like, and I don't, maybe Logan Jones was the only one they felt could come in and start. And once he went, then they were kind of off the center market. You know, I don't know. We'd have to ask Eric that one.
But Zion Young comes in here, and you broke him down yesterday with an interesting skill set. Certainly a competent young man, as we heard when he's talked to the media. But, you know, does the game translate here? I mean, as a second-round pick, Vanga's got to start day one. Zion Young has to do what? And their season opener, opponent, and date to be determined.
Well, I think he'll be in the rotation, Bob. And I think, you know, see how he does, you know, in the preseason games and stuff. But with his size and stuff, he's good at setting the edge. And I think what they'll do with him, Bob, is, you know, in the rushing stuff, put him over to guard. I think that's where he will be of value early on over the guard, because he can create mismatches there.
It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. It's Turn It Up Tuesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. We'll talk to him as the show progresses. You want it loud? Send your request, Plot Sport text line, music, that is, at 410-583-1057. Ron Ripka joining us next. Talk about the Orioles, where they sit right now, below 500. Not good. Negative run differential. Shane Boz looking for his first win tonight. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox, who were in last place and fired their manager. What the hell's going on with the Birds of Baltimore here? So we'll talk to Ryan about that. Astros coming in with a robust team earned run average. They are, what, fourth in baseball in runs scored. So they can put some numbers up on this scoreboard here. How will the Orioles respond before they go to the Bronx? Taking on the Yankees this weekend. New York, by the way, one of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team in baseball right now.
If you missed today's Big Bad Morning Show, have segments, hours, or full show delivered daily to your phone. Subscribe to the podcast and listen anytime on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts. The Big Bad Morning Show, live on the Fan's YouTube channel, tomorrow 6 till 10, 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, everybody, it's your buddy Bob Haney here. Are you seeing the prices at grocery stores lately? It feels like the numbers just keep going up. But listen, I don't sweat it because I use Upside. With the Upside app, I get cash back whenever I shop at Giant food stores, and you can too. It's easy. Simply download the free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and start earning cash for buying the groceries you're already buying. And if you thought it couldn't get any better, my limited time promo code CHARM15 gets you an extra $10 bonus on your first purchase. You know what's wild? Family of four is spending $1,200 a month on groceries right now. I saw that number and thought, there has to be a smarter way to do this, and I found it. It's called Upside. Don't wait. Download the free Upside app now. Use my promo code CHARM15 to redeem your $10 bonus at any Giant food store. That's promo code CHARM15. Join the real people earning money just for buying groceries. Plus, you can cash out at any time to your bank account or e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. What are you waiting for? Download the free Upside app now using my limited promo code CHARM15. $10 bonus on your first purchase at any Giant food store. Offer vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
The teams you grew up with.
Ravens are world champions.
Are the ones you still love today. 105.7 The Fan. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
The Ravens' newly drafted players, as well as undrafted free agents, will head to the Castle this weekend for rookie minicamp, their first taste of life in the NFL. And with the dust now settled on the draft, you start to get the story behind the picks. A video of Baltimore's first-rounder guard Venga Ione started to go viral over the weekend as he was seen helping an equipment manager push a cart down the tunnel before a game. Here's GM Eric DaCosta on how much the person behind the player matters to teams.
All that stuff matters in some little small way. Saw that he helps the guy push the thing. Yeah, that was really cool. I think it speaks to his humility and just who he is as a person, how his parents raised him. All that stuff, we look at all that social media. You know, I always tell my kids, be careful because people like me are scouring the internet looking at your social media, you know. So, I think that stuff's really important.
Ravens rookie minicamp begins Friday morning. And tonight at the Yard, the O's get back in action, welcoming the Astros to Baltimore for a three-game set. And the Fan has your pregame coverage for this evening's game with Baltimore Baseball Tonight, presented by Jerry's Home Services, beginning at 5:30, with first pitch slated for 6:35. Your Tuesday forecast from the Bob Bell, Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, turning cloudy with a chance for showers, highs around 60. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Ryan Ripken's commentary is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. Play Fast Play Home Run Riches from the Maryland Lottery. You could win instantly or enter to win cash for Orioles home runs as a contestant of the game. Please play responsibly.
City at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Bob Haiti, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Baltimore Orioles back on the diamond tonight. Taking on the Astros. It's Shane Boz for the Birds, who are 13-15 on the year, 7-8 here at home. They just dropped two in a row to the Red Sox, who did win again last night. We'll talk more about that during the AL East report. But Kaiwei Tang, I said KY.
Yeah,
I guess my mind was somewhere else. Dig where I'm coming from over here. But Kaiwei Tang. Right out of the bullpen. He's in that rotation. Houston DRA, team-wide, worst in baseball. Here to talk about the Orioles, though. It's not like we should be bragging too much about them. He's our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight. We rip it with him every Thursday and Friday from noon to 2. He's Ryan Ripken. Ryan, what's up?
What's going on? Happy Tuesday. Is this, it's not supposed to rain tonight, is it?
It's going to rain within the next hour or two, according to my Doppler radar, which is on my phone. And then we're well past it into tonight's game, Ryan. Now, tomorrow, we might have a different ball game, pun intended. But anyway.
Okay. Well, I'll just wait for the weather report as we do Baltimore Baseball Tonight live from Pickles Pub tonight. How about that?
That sounds great. And everybody's excited about us being back down there because we were on the second floor, which anything wrong with it on Friday because of the rain there against Red Sox. But we digress. All right. Orioles lose 2 out of 3 to Boston. All right. You clobber them. You break out the whipping sticks Friday. The exact opposite happens to you on Saturday. Granted, it's only a loss. The bigger story is Trevor Rogers, which we'll get to. But what the hell happened Sunday? Boston, they fired their manager. Basically, the players were pissed because they were told to shut up and play, and they went out and played. How do you lose that series, given everything that's happened with the Red Sox so far this year?
Well, here's a couple things. Number one, and number one still the most important thing, baseball will humble you. I mean, life's going to humble you, but baseball will humble you. And I want to go back to all these moments here the last maybe few weeks for the Orioles where you felt like they were going to turn it on, and maybe they felt like they were going to turn it on, and then you get a harsh dosage of reality of you got to go out and execute because you ain't getting freebies, you ain't getting away with it, you got to go and earn it. And so I want to take you back a previous homestand where they had that emphatic victory or come from behind against the Diamondbacks, right? Similar situation. Everyone goes, this is the moment. They're going to turn it on. And then what happened the next two games? They lost to the Diamondbacks and lose the series. Flash forward, what happened Friday? Arguably their most complete game all year. They're smacking the baseball around the yard. They're playing complimentary ball. They're playing fundamental. And then what happens the next 2 days? When you feel really good, and even on the scoreboard on Friday night, right? Oh, we ran out of fireworks. So the home run, you know, whatever.
A little cocky.
You know what? Yeah, baseball humbles you. And so that's a professional team. And the Red Sox, although they've had a lot of issues, there's a lot of guys with pride, and they're not out of it yet. It's still so early. They're in a hole, but it's early. And what'd they do? They came back and put up 16. And then they won in spite of all the issues on Sunday. So I think for this Orioles team, the best way, Bob, for me to describe all of this is they are consistently inconsistent. You know, and that's a great example of what's happened with those examples that I shared. Well, you have to be able to work through anything. And it's less to me about the Red Sox situation. I don't care the situations for the other team. Your situation, control what you can control. And that's been two instances that I've noticed that have gotten away from them.
Well, you mentioned the Diamondbacks game where they came from behind, won the brilliant Monday nighter. And then Friday night, Puffy Pants and the Red Sox. The next game, in both instances, Trevor Rogers started. That Tuesday, they were up early against Arizona. He gave up a three-run homer. They wound up losing the game. And then Saturday, doesn't make it out of the second inning. So after starting the season fine, not dominant, because Ryan, we've talked about it, always had like ducks on the pond, but getting himself out of jams and being effective enough to give the Orioles a really good chance to win. What is your concern level with Trevor Rogers? And if there isn't one, why is he right now kind of scuffling a little bit with the earned run average over four?
Well, it's just him not being able to put away hitters with two strikes is my biggest thing. You know, and he had some bad luck in some circumstances, but when then the bad luck can be added on is when you make a true mistake and another team makes you pay. And this isn't just a Trevor Rogers thing. This has been a lot of the Orioles starting staff as a whole, where worked ahead. Kyle Bradish is the same way in the finale. Kyle Bradish is battling for the first four innings. Fifth inning, three pitches. Three specific pitches where he had two strikes on the batter. He went high heater, missed his target down the middle, leadoff hit for Durbin. The first run of the game for the Red Sox in that fifth inning, missed spot, base hit RBI. Two strikes on Contreras. You hang a slider, the ball gets driven into the left center field bullpen. So that is similar to what Trevor Rogers is going through, because Rogers even says, he goes, I'm working ahead. I'm not putting them away. And so I am going to give Trevor the benefit because there's still so much that he's doing well. And he said that, too, and I agree with him. There's a lot he's doing well, Bob. The problem is when you get ahead, you got to put him away. And if they get a cheap hit, you know, that's baseball. They have one that gets sawed off, falls in. You got to find a way to get the next guy out. And that's what he did early on. Now that seems to be the problem. But let's give him some grace. He works ahead. That's half the battle. Now the next thing is being able to, you know, obviously put up some more zeros and get back to the Trevor Rogers we saw all last year.
Talking to Orioles, Astros. Astros coming into town right now, last place in the AL West. Their highest earned run average of pitching-wise in Major League Baseball. Coming into tonight's action, Orioles trying to get back in the win column. Two in a row. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. I'm going to make it positive. How about a little positive conversation here, Ryan Ripken? Because we have plenty of time to complain later at BBT. But Kobe Mayo and Sammy Basayo, two of their big thumpers, starting to come to life here. So what's been different in a positive way? We'll get to Mayo's defense eventually. But what about the bat with him and Samuel Basayo starting to put some serious exit velo on the ball here?
Hey, you know what? I'm glad. I love this positive Bob.
Yeah.
You know, this is
give me 5 minutes.
Music to my ears. How about this?
Abnormal.
I know. I'm not used to this, right? But but in all seriousness, Sammy Basayo and Kobe Mayo, this is what they can be. And this isn't a fluke to me. You know, people got to remember how one young Sammy Basayo is. That's his part with his expectations. And number two for Kobe Mayo was him proving last year in September he can hit big league pitching, but that was him getting a full runway to be the everyday guy. And he hasn't necessarily had that full runway. He's had a good runway to start, but you could tell to me he was pressing, and Sammy was, but for two different reasons. You know, I still go back to that Kansas City series for both of them, but Sammy Basayo in particular, his two best swings of the season by far, if we look back, are going to be the ninth inning two-strike hit to left center field, and then the next at-bat, breaking ball off the plate. It was a ball, and Sammy with two strikes again hits a line drive to left center field. Why is that relevant? Because every left-handed hitter would say they know you're locked in if you're able to drive the baseball the other way to the opposite gap. And it's like things clicked back in for him, because with Sammy's talent and being able to stay back on the baseball like he did there and shorten his swing, less wasted movement, well, what's happened? Well, Sammy's just driving the ball everywhere around the field, and he's letting his natural given talent show. And Kobe Mayo's the same way. I think finally when he hit his first home run, and not that you're trying to hit home runs, you know, that's not the end goal all the time, right? But Kobe at times, talking to him in the past, it's like, I need to see one go over. I need to see one to prove to myself I can still do this. And then one happened, and then another, right? So I love where they're at. I love their trajectory. I just hope for both of their sakes they're in the lineup as much as possible, because while this Orioles offense is still trying to figure it out, these two guys – can be a big reason to help them work through, you know, their struggles that they've had so far as a team.
All right, Ryan, let's talk about, you know, like the defense, especially like Sunday, like Ward, he looks lost. Mm-hmm. Beavers, he's playing out of position. You know, Gunnar had a couple miscues there. Basayo threw it into the outfield. Jackson had a misplay. Really, when, you know, guys are not, coaches put people in positions where they can succeed. It seems like we have some guys that are not in positions to succeed, number one. And then number two, who's a plus defender on the defense right now?
Yeah, you know, it's been a carousel. And it's a couple things. One, to answer your question about best defender, most comfortable is Tavares. Jordy Tavares is the most comfortable outfielder that they have. Mm-hmm. He's played center field on a World Series champion team, the 2023 Texas Rangers. Or been in the outfield in general, right? So he understands that, and he's a proven big leaguer and a proven outfielder in that regard. It's hard for other players to learn and get in rhythm when they're not everyday guys. Outside of Taylor Ward, no other outfielder has been deemed you're starting every single game, and I think that makes it harder for guys like Colton Cowser and Dylan Beavers. And I really like what Colton Cowser's done as an outfielder. But you know why they're not putting him in every day is because of the bat. And what happens there, it doesn't give him the normal reps. Dylan Beavers, same thing. I sat down with Dylan Beavers a week and a half ago, and usually everyone says it's harder to adjust to big league pitching, which I still think that's the hardest adjustment. But Beavers said for him the more challenge was learning the outfield. And not that he doesn't know the outfield, it's learning it in the big leagues and learning multiple positions. And that's a lot on a player when you're not in there every day. So that's where I look at it. It's not an excuse. I think also the fact that the Orioles just have so many options and they haven't identified who are we playing every day. And last little fun fact with this and why I think this is important. The Orioles right now have really three regulars. Adley missed time, which he should be playing almost every day. And Basayo, same thing. But the Orioles have three players that have played every single game. Gunner, Taylor Ward, Pete Alonso. The first place Yankees, for perspective here, if those three guys in the Orioles played 28 games, no one else in the Orioles is close to that as far as that number. Jeremiah Jackson's maybe 26. The Yankees have six players that have played 27 or more games. So why is this important? When you play every day, you get more in rhythm. Hitting defensively, and I think that's something that this Orioles team has had a hard time, especially for an outfield group that is still trying to learn how they can be the best fundamental player that they can possibly be.
Ryan Ripken, we will see you tonight at Pickles Pub, correct, for Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services, starting at 5:30.
Yeah, and we'll have a player spotlight. Maybe we'll have a player spotlight on a guy like Kobe Mayo, Bob. You know, why don't we do that?
Hey, it's your world. I'm just living in it.
All right, well, I'll see you later on the night.
All right, see you.
All right, Ryan.
Here's Ryan Ripken. We'll come back, reset the program for you. Draft profile coming up 11 o'clock. Going to talk about one of the two tight ends the Ravens drafted over draft weekend. Whip around left 15, a lot going on in world of sports. And then a full-on AFC North draft profile, Vinny, as we go to Pittsburgh, Cincy, and Cleveland. AFC North bouncing around there at around 11:30 here.
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
Orioles start a series against Houston Astros. Is this the week they get a win streak going? We'll ask Oriole Hall of Famer, part of our BBC crew, Mike Bordick, if they can get going offensively and pitching-wise. And we continue to ask people their opinion of the Ravens draft. NFL.com draft expert Chad Ryder joins the show.
Next on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan. This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Bengals personnel man Duke Tobin said what we all already knew yesterday. It's all about now in Cincy, which is why they traded the 10th pick for Sexy Dexy Lawrence. And when a team is all in on now, if they don't win it all or come reasonably close, people pay the price. As Baltimore showed us this offseason, if you got to choose between the coach and the QB, you always choose the QB. So if the Bengals miss the playoffs again, Zach with no K is going to be Zach with no jaw. I'm Chris Mack.
Vinny and Haney Show, sponsored by Town Appliance. Your next home upgrade starts at Town Appliance.
Turn it up Tuesday, cracking it to 12. You want to allow, we'll play it. Send your song request, plus for text line and for Ted, 583-1057. Phillies have fired their manager, Rob Thompson. Don Mattingly take over on an interim basis of Philadelphia, off to a brutal start. Second manager. Sacrifice Joe Espada in Houston, in town now. He's on the hot seat. Carlos Mendoza with the Mets. So, man, we're not even through April. Two managers gone already. We're a little more than a month into what season started the 26th. So, we're a little more than a month in and already two managers.
And you're saying Houston may be close, coming to third quickly.
Espada, Orioles sweep them. Who knows what his future might hold, even though he did get the vote of confidence over the weekend from the GM. We're going to have a draft profile coming up top of the hour, but let's squeeze a phone call. Hey, Nolan, we have time for a call? Nolan says yes. Let's go to Andy in Dundalk. Andy, thanks for holding. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Right. Good.
This is going to be like beating a dead horse because I was on this last year. Mancelino, when he gets his chance, is going to be a great manager somewhere. He had this team playing great fundamental baseball in every aspect, something that they didn't have the entire time Brandon Hyde was here, all the way down to bunting. I mean, he had a 68-64 record while he was the Orioles interim. If you throw out the first seven games, because you figure the change in period when he first took over, he's 68-57. I mean, I don't know what Mancelino could have done that people would have been on board, like a lot of guys at your radio station who bashed him when he didn't do anything but win. And he didn't do anything but change the culture of how they played ball. And I'm not blaming Abernaz or anything like that, but they're not playing good fundamental baseball. They're throwing to the wrong base. They're making mistakes on the base pass. And you got a guy, Wilson, up who even Ben McDonald said, looks like he half-heartedly tried to bunt twice, like he wasn't really, like he didn't really want to do it. I mean, I don't know what's up with that. But when you watch, when Mancelino gets his chance, he's going to be a great manager somewhere. He may do some faux pas when he talks to the media, but he was on target with how he ran this baseball club when he took over. And that's all I got to say, guys. Y'all have a good day, and hopefully the Orioles will straighten it out. The hitting and the pitching, that happens over the course of the year. But fundamentals need to be consistent.
Yeah.
You guys have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy. And they've been consistently bad.
Yes, they have.
And even when Manzolino was the manager, they still had problems fundamentally. Tony, now in Atlanta with a team that right now has the best record in baseball, or one of them. Anyway, it's a moot point there, Andy. You were like kind of on that Manzo train. Nolan, I don't know. Were we Manzo? I had nothing against Craig, Tony, or Manzolino, because I thought after, you know, he said, hey, we gave up too many points, I was like, ah, come on, man. But after that, he kind of settled into his role, and, you know, he knew he was up against it personnel-wise. They were banged up, challenged, and as inconsistent as this year's pitching staff is, last year's was bad.
He didn't want to be there. I didn't present himself like a major league manager. All right, you got thrown into the fire. You didn't want it. I understand that. You sympathize with that. It took him a while to get adjusted, but even towards the end, I don't think he clearly showed himself to be a guy that said, oh, I'm a major league manager. It's take off from here for me. Like, I'm going to go get another job, and this is it. I don't know if he gets an opportunity. I mean, he's a baseball lifer. Sure. You'd like to think that all those guys at least get a look or a consideration at some point, and the fact that he had a little interim run, I think, does bode well for him down the road, but I don't know if he'll get a job. I don't know if Brandon Hyde gets another job. I was told when they fired him, how could you let him go? He's a great manager. Multiple-time manager of the year winner. You can't let a guy like that hit the street. Hasn't been scooped up since. I thought he was a great manager. Guess not.
I think Nolan drove him to BWI to get him out
of
town last May. But Manzolino's landed on his feet. Whether or not he gets another job as a manager, I think he was resigned to the fact that September, he was, even though he was a candidate for the full-time job, he knew he wouldn't. He wasn't getting this gig. But the players had his back, though. And you can never underestimate the players having your back. But what's the best way the players can have your back, Vinny?
Win.
Yeah, go out and kick some ass and win some games. That's when they got your back. We'll come back. Ravens added a few new players over the draft. We're talking tight ends when we come back. Draft profile number one. We've got the whip around coming your way at 11:15. NBA Stanley Cup playoff. Hey, the number one seed in the Eastern Conference in the NBA is in trouble. Like Rat said on a Turn It Up Tuesday. And then we got the AFC North. We're bouncing around there. Talking to Brian Bacco about Steelers, Joe Reedy about the Bengals, and Emmett Golden about the Browns.
What happens next happens here. Baltimore Sports Radio.
That ball is out of here.
105.7 The Fan.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.